I spent a couple of years before I entered ministry doing quite a bit of substitute teaching. Now, I am by no means an expert in education. I am far from it. But as I read and as I thought about this introduction to Paul's letter to the church at Corinth, I couldn't help but think about a young man that I worked with when I was subbing. Now, this kid, he was on a fast track to trouble. He was struggling, both in school and out. He had had a rough life. And when I started working with him, it was final semester of senior year, and there were two classes that he had to have to graduate. He didn't pass these two, he didn't get to walk. Now, he was a good kid at heart. He was really trying to get his life back on track, but, you know, he was 18, and there were times he was just clueless. He kept telling me over and over again, not graduating isn't an option. He said, Mom has already sent out invites to the graduation party. She has an entire notebook full of plans for the graduation party. This has to happen. He wanted to do this not only for himself, but for her. And he was far, far more than capable of getting his classes completed. It could have and it should have been a breeze. There just was one big, ugly problem. He really liked to party more than he liked to do his homework. He just couldn't seem to set aside the drinking, the smoking the pot, and whatever else he was doing after school that I didn't want to know about. He really wanted to make his mom proud. He wanted to graduate. He wanted to work at his part-time after-school job and earn money. He wanted to spoil his girlfriend. But he also really wanted to have a good time with his buddies who were out of school and were making some really not smart life decisions. And you know, that's kind of how I see the church in Corinth that Paul is writing to in this book of the Bible. We're going to be looking at this letter to the church at Corinth over the next several weeks. This church, they were fairly new converts to the faith. And I think at heart, they really wanted to follow Jesus. But the pressures around them, the culture of Corinth, their old habits, all these things kept dragging them into making some bad choices, which is prompting Paul to write this letter. Now, today we only see the introduction, but even in just these few verses, Paul is saying quite a bit. He starts off by exerting a little bit of authority. Paul always begins his letters by letting the readers know who is writing to them. And he reminds them not only of his name, but of what he is. He says of himself, Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. He's not just any old guy who's about to chew them out. He is the guy. The guy that God himself called to be a preacher, a teacher, a leader, and an authority over the church. This introduction here, this is sort of like when the punk kid at school calls the principal by just his last name, and the principal responds, that's Mr. So-and-so to you. This is Paul saying, it's Mr. Paul to you guys. Now, he's not trying to be mean here, but he is reminding the church of his authoritative role, as well as the fact that it was God himself who gave Paul this authority. There are stiff reprimands and corrections needed for this church, and Paul is establishing his right to be the one to deliver them. But even so, Paul's heart is filled with love for the people of Corinth. He reminds them, they too have been called by God. They have been chosen by God. They are loved by God. He doesn't start out by chastising them. He starts by loving them. Because friends, no matter how many mistakes we make, No matter how many times we fall, no matter how many times we succumb to culture instead of submitting ourselves to God, God still calls us, still loves us, and that is what Paul was demonstrating. Now, he could have come in pretty heavy-handed here. He could have come in pointing fingers and ridiculing and shaming them for their behavior, but instead, he starts by showing them that he knows what is happening, but he instills in them that God still calls, still has plans for them, and still loves them. Now, I've told you before how utterly untalented I am when it comes to sports. And I really have been terrible from the time I was little. But you know what? I loved volleyball. I really wanted to play and to play well, and I did play for 1 year. I can't remember if it was fourth or fifth grade, but somewhere around in there. And I worked hard. I wanted to get better, but, you know, I stunk. I really did. Now, could I have gotten better? Maybe. I think perhaps I could have gotten some better. Now, I was never going to be a superstar. I'm not tall. I'm not quick. You know, whatever. There were even times that as the ball was coming, I would flinch. I'm telling you, I was bad, okay? But I had a drive. I wanted to get better. And that year, I watched as my coach would devote lots of time to the girls who were good. I saw the coach pour out her time and her efforts into those who showed the most promise. The only attention I got from the coach was when she was chewing me out for messing up. I didn't get many words of encouragement. I don't ever remember my coach saying, "You know what, you'll get it next time." I felt belittled, shamed, and even at times ignored. And you know, I never went out for volleyball again. I was terrible, and I knew I was terrible. And I was convinced after that year that no amount of practice would ever change that fact. What do you think would have happened to this new church at Corinth if Paul had treated them the way my coach treated me? Would they have stayed as part of the church? Or would they have taken the path of least resistance and gone back to worshiping the Roman gods and living as their friends and neighbors did? Paul does not focus in this opening to his letter on the mistakes that the new church has made. Instead, he chooses to remind them that they are special, that they are wanted, that they are called. He tells them of the gifts that he sees in them, gifts given to them by God. Paul tells these struggling, faulty new Christians, "You are not lacking in any spiritual gifts as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now he's saying "you" in the plural form. Y'all aren't lacking in anything that you need. Y'all have the gifts needed to be Christians. What an amazing gift to give to these people. They were not living as they should, but Paul told them that they were enough, that they were gifted enough, that they were capable enough, that they knew enough to be followers of Jesus Christ. Paul attempts to show a different way of living. He's grateful for the life that they live in Christ. He gives thanks for the faithfulness of God at work in them. And this is evidenced by the reality that they are not lacking in any spiritual gift. What an incredible statement to make to a bunch of screw-ups. Now, we could argue that Paul is writing this whole letter because of lack of spiritual gifting. Humility seems to be in short supply amongst these people, and peace doesn't seem to exactly rule in their hearts, and yet he tells them, "You are not lacking in any spiritual gift. You have what it takes." What reassurance, what hope, what encouragement he is giving them with this simple statement, telling them, "Hey, Y'all have exactly what you need to do this. You've got this. You know, I wonder sometimes what would have happened if my coach had spoken to me in this way about something as, sorry, Aaron, as inconsequential as volleyball. If I had thought someone had seen potential in me, maybe I would have kept at it. Maybe I would have worked harder. Maybe I wouldn't have walked away in shame at my own inadequacy. The church in Corinth kept at the spiritual life. Were they perfect? No. Who among us is? But they kept going. So often I hear people say, and I have heard some of you say, oh, you know, I just don't really feel comfortable talking to other people about my faith. Or, you know, Pastor, I can't really lead a Bible study. Oh, please don't ever ask me to pray in public. I can't do that. Team, let me say this so that you all hear it. Y'all have every gift needed. Y'all are not lacking in anything. Any spiritual gifts. Together, this congregation has people who can preach, who can teach, who can pray, who can lead others to Christ. You each are uniquely gifted, and together, you are not lacking in any spiritual gifts. This body of believers, right here, right now, has the capability to change the culture of Miller and of Hand County. We have the gifts and the graces that God has given to each of us for such a time as this. We are called. We are gifted. We as a group are not lacking. We can show Christ to others. We can lead our neighbors to God, not by shaming them or ridiculing them, but by loving them and showing them the love of Christ in us. So may we not be afraid simply because we are not perfect. We are enough because we are the ones that God has called and equipped and placed right here, right now. So let us spread the word that our God loves even the broken, even the imperfect, and that with God at our sides, there is a better way in this world. Thanks be to God. Amen.